This week, however, we have a very interesting question to consider, and here it is. If God is all-knowing, that is, he knows what will happen before it happens, why do we bother to pray? Does God sometimes change his mind? That's a really interesting question, and certainly one that I have thought about before. You know, if God is all-knowing and all-powerful and controls world events and the events of my life, then why do we bother to pray? He already knows what he is going to do. What difference does it make whether we ask him to act or not? Now the person who has asked this question has suggested, I think, an answer, a possible answer to that question. Does God ever change his mind? You know, maybe God is all-knowing and all-powerful, and his mind is set in one direction, but then when we pray, maybe we move him in such a way that he decides to change course partway through. Maybe that is a reason for us to pray. Is that a possibility? These are great questions, and we're going to have some fun here this morning answering those two questions, really. Why do we bother to pray, and does God ever change his mind? Put your thinking caps on, because I suspect that you will be chewing on these for the rest of the week. We're going to answer those two questions, but I want to start with the second one first, because I think that the second one impacts the first one. So let's think about this. Does God ever change his mind? Okay, you have a variety of scriptures there in front of you, and I would encourage you to read them in context. Go to your Bibles and read those later. But we're going to look at Jonah 3:10 just as an example here this morning. You'll remember that Jonah went to Nineveh to warn the Ninevites that God was warn them of God's coming judgment, and they heard Jonah's message, and they responded by repenting. They turned from their sin. They made a valid, reasonable response to this warning that Jonah brought. In response to that, Jonah 3:10 says that God had compassion on them and did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. On the reference page, you see there's three different translations I've given you. The ESV relented, he had compassion on them is what the NIV translates it. The New Living Translation says that he changed his mind. All of those are really valid translations of that word, but it's that same word. So it appears that in his compassion, God changed his mind and relented from the destruction that he had threatened. So on one hand, we might say that God changes his mind. But then you see that I've given you the very next verse, Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. And that is the very same word as in the New Living Translation says God did change his mind. 1 Samuel 15:29 says the very same thing. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. Very same word. So we've got now two different passages saying apparently two different things. God does change his mind. God does not change his mind. Well, what do we do with this? Part of it, I think, lays in that fact that there's a variety of ways to translate what you see in Jonah 3:10. And I think that we need to think a bit more about Jonah, because there's more going on than I've said. You know, the narrator says that that God has changed his mind, but did he really? Because think about it. What was God's plan here? God sent Jonah to Nineveh. If they kept on with their sin, and then God would bring judgment on them. But if they turned from it, then he would relent. Right? That was the plan. If they continue, destruction. If they turn, forgiveness. And Nineveh repented, and so that means that God relented. God was willing to show them mercy if they would listen to them. Rather to him. did God change his mind here? I don't think so. I think that he did exactly what he intended to do in light of Nineveh's response to his warning. He turned away from his wrath in light of their response. You know, from the narrator's point of view on the ground, it might have looked as though God changed his mind, but in reality, he did exactly what the plan said. Extend mercy if they repented, exact justice if they didn't. God accomplished what he had set his mind to do in response to human action. That happens here. That happens with Moses when he intercedes on behalf of Israel because of the golden calf. That happens with Abraham at Sodom and Gomorrah. God threatens disaster, but leaves the door open for mercy when people respond. When people respond, God acts accordingly. You know, I think that there is a conditionality and an if-then built into God's plans. God's mind is big enough to go either way depending on a human response. So I don't think that we can say that God ever changes his mind. His mind is always fixed on mercy and justice. But there is a degree of if-then built into his plans. God has his plan, but he responds to our actions, affirming or redirecting them to accomplish the good ends of his plans. And I think that that has huge implications for our prayer lives. You know, God doesn't change his mind, but that's okay, because his mind is always fixed on what is good. I mean, I didn't give you this passage, but just a couple verses after Jonah 3:10, Jonah 4:2, Jonah says to God, I knew that you were going to do this before you sent me here. I knew that you were going to have compassion on these people, because that's just the kind of God that you are. We want to see God's plans fulfilled, because he is a gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast kind of God. He actually knows better than we do, from an eternal point of view, what is actually good. We want his plans because they are good, but he invites us to participate in his plans, to let him know about our experience of the plan, to let him know what we need in the moment, emotionally and spiritually and materially, so that he can respond. Otherwise, all of those passages that I gave you, like 1 Thessalonians 5:17, you know, pray continually, Luke 18, pray and never give up, Matthew 7:11, if we give good gifts to our children, how much more will God give good gifts to his children when they ask? Those passages would not make any sense unless God did respond to our prayers. We pray because God responds to our prayers. He doesn't change his mind, but his mind is always set on good, and he responds to our prayers in light of his good purposes that his mind is set on. One of the questions that I wrestled with early on was, do we know if God changes his mind? Well, how do we know what God's mind is? That is an issue, unless God specifically says. We can't know exactly what God's mind is, but I think that we have some hints in the Bible about what his priorities are. For example, Jeremiah 29:11, I know that you will know, on account of Pastor George, God's plans are to prosper us, not to harm us. That's God's basic posture towards his people, not to maliciously hurt people, but to see good things happen, to see them thrive from an eternal point of view. I think 1 Timothy 2:3 gives us a sense of God's mind. He wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God's mind is always set on those things, but he listens to our prayers, and he responds to them in accordance, in harmony with the good plans that he is always pursuing. God's mind doesn't change in the big picture, but in the details of life, he certainly responds to our prayer. We pray because God responds to prayer for good. Is your head aching now? Do you feel like you've been drinking from a fire hydrant? Let me take a minute to run a case study through this with you, okay? So let's say let's say that you or one of your kids is hoping to get a new job at a specific place. As far as you can tell, this job seems like it will be a good place to work, a good opportunity, so you really want to see you or them get this job. And so you go to God in prayer. Now, the way the question is framed here, does God change his mind? Well, that implies that God has a plan regarding this job. You're either going to get the job or you're not. But do you know what God's mind is on that? No. So we don't know if God will have changed his mind on this job based on your prayer unless he announces it first. We have no idea. And so we pray. We pray because we don't know God's will. But he does want to hear from us what we are sensing. We pray knowing that God gives good gifts to his children. And if this job aligns with God's plan for us, then we will get it. If the job doesn't align with God's plan for it right now, then it'll take a little bit of time. You know, maybe we need to learn something that will prepare us for that job that God knows, but we don't know yet. If it's not, then if it doesn't align with God's will, then you won't get it. That just means that God has something better from an eternal point of view waiting for you. And certainly in the meantime, he will be providing strength and support and encouragement, what you need to get through. We pray because God responds to prayer in his wisdom, in his time, for good. Let's do one more example. Kids going back to school, right? We know here that God's mind is not to harm them. God is not capricious or whimsical in a negative sense about it. God is not going to capriciously make an outbreak happen at a school. So we don't need to pray and change God's mind from some sort of sadistic attack on schools. His mind would never be in that direction in the first place, would it? His mind is fixed eternally on what is eternally good. And so we pray asking God to give us confidence, to keep the kids safe, to keep teachers safe and staff, to build our children up to be highly functioning, cooperative, compassionate members of society. God will answer those prayers. Would God do those things if nobody prayed for them? Probably. Wouldn't that be awful if nobody did? God wants to hear from us. He wants us to come to him for help because really, prayer is more than just about asking for stuff, right? Prayer is about building our relationship with our Father. Like, if your kids only came to you and talked to you when they wanted something out of your wallet, that wouldn't be a great relationship, would it? You would want to grow by spending time together. And that's God's posture towards us too, that we would pray and grow in relationship with him and understand his mind more and more. Robert Morris, in a book called Why Keep Praying, makes a good point on this, and I'm going to close here. Morris writes, when Jesus chose to come to earth, he laid down his divinity and picked up his humanity. As a human being, he needed the power of the Holy Spirit in his life, just as we do. As a human, he needed to hear his Father's voice. He needed to pour out his soul and have fellowship with the Father. He needed strength and guidance and help as he walked this earth as a human being. So here's a question for all of us. If Jesus, God's Son, needed to pray and make vital personal contact with God the Father every day, do you think there's a possibility that we need to do that too? Absolutely we do. We need to pray. We pray because God, in his sovereign goodness, responds to our prayers. Let's pray. Father, we confess that there's a bit of divine mystery happening in the way that you interact with the world, but we know on account of the testimony that we see in Scripture that you do respond to our prayer, that your mind is set on what is eternally good, and yet you respond to us. You answer our prayer in your good time. So, Lord, I pray that even if we don't understand the minute details of it, that we would be emboldened to pray, to come to you like the persistent widow in the Luke parable. We pray, God, that you would spur us to spend time with you, even just sitting and listening for you to speak. God, we pray that you would indeed answer here and answer our prayers, give us a sense that you are listening. Lord, I know at points in my life it has felt as though there is a wall between you and me, you and I. And I pray that, God, if there is anybody who is experiencing that right now, that you would tear that wall down. God, that you would make it abundantly clear to them as they set a time aside to pray to you, that you are listening, that you indeed care for them. God, I pray that we would be moved this morning and this week to come to you as a child comes to their father, knowing that you will give us good things when we ask. And we pray, just as we do in the Lord's Prayer, that your will would be done. Lord, because there is no greater thing than we could ask for than your will. Since we don't know the details of it, Lord, we bring it all to you. And we ask that you would answer our prayers in light of your compassion and your goodness. Thank you for hearing us as we pray. And we pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.